perfect peace. We observe the world's events today and we witness an accelerated pace of political developments. The world that result in strife, war, violence, taking away lives. Whether we look at the Middle East, countries such as Syria or Iraq, or the eastern Ukraine nowadays, or even the developments in Israel, it seems that what previously had a hope of regained stability and tranquility has been brewing to build up a stronger storm. The balances of the conflicting sides are being tried. Just similar to the study that we just had with Brother Joe about the loosening of the four winds, it seems that all these different elements of politics, economy, religion are increasing their impact on the world. And it seems that still during the days when the saints are on the scene, we can expect that the things will get significantly worse after they are off. So watching these developments and these things, we see that they do have an effect on us. We both can sometimes step away from the TV, from the news, or from whatever news updates we read. And we certainly try to see how it is that the Lord is guiding and controlling these events and allowing some other things to happen. So it makes each of us react in various ways. And we may have a difficult time dealing with these things, both in our minds, which would mean understanding the intellectual, progression of things, as well as our hearts, our emotions, sometimes our moral response. How do we respond to all these things? And I think that these reactions may make us uneasy, to say the least, maybe worried, maybe anxious. And so today, brethren, we wanted to look at this very precious commodity of peace. And we wanted to just consider a few aspects of it, together sing some hymns that may encourage us both to look for the source of true peace and to give glory and praise to God and to the Prince of Peace. We read this reassuring scripture in Isaiah 26:3 about perfect peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. What is that perfect peace? And what a wonderful promise it is. Let's consider some aspects. Well, what is peace overall? We, of course, can read in an encyclopedia that peace, or here Wikipedia, peace is an occurrence of harmony characterized by lack of violence, conflict behaviors, and the freedom from fear of violence. Commonly understood, it also is an absence of hostility, retribution. Peace also suggests sincere attempts at reconciliation, the existence of healthy or newly healed interpersonal or international relationships, prosperity with matters of the social or economic welfare, and establishment of equality and a working political order that serves true interests of all. And it seems that according to this definition, conditions like this would bring about what we would call peace. Etymologically, this word peace is, of course, from all different languages sounding differently. In English, I think it has a relationship to the French and Latin pax, or the French would be pay. And in Romanian, we say pace. In fact, the two other words that we probably are very familiar with is shalom in Hebrew and, yes, salam in Arabic. These languages are closely related. In Polish, for those of us who are going to the international convention, you may want to practice this word, pokój, pokój. And if you see these three letters, K-O-J, or koj, as we might actually pronounce them in Polish, or kuj, because there is a little differentiation. You know that word koj? It actually is related to the word koj that we would use in English, something that is kind of shy and quiet and modest. So that was quite interesting to me. I thought this word was completely Slavic and had no other connections. But we all know that peace is a precious commodity. In the Jewish theology, this word shalom comes from the Hebrew word that means to restore. And when you pay for something, you also use the very similar word to pay for something. It has these three key letters, sh, l, and m. And also, when you say that something is complete, you will use that similar word. And when in Hebrew somebody asks you, "So how are you? How are you doing?" they actually are saying, "How is your peace? How complete are you?" So it's quite interesting. As we go on and consider the various dimensions of peace, we absolutely see that the collective peace that we reflect on when we see the news and the lack of that peace, that it's so much and closely rooted in the personal peace that every individual who is part of the community, of the country, of the world could bring in. Because if there wouldn't be an instigation from individuals or from a thought, you wouldn't have a gradually growing collective conflict. And so that first dimension of peace, the personal peace, is very important and very interesting to us. We see that we have to have first peace, and that peace has to come from a certain rest. It may be that someone says, "I have, you know, peace in me, and I am kind of relaxed and not anxious," and that is a very good quality, because from it comes, you know, harmony and tolerance with others. I think we would agree with that. But in the larger sense, we see that a lot of what happens in the world with the existence of evil and with just the way that mankind has gone over the centuries, that it signifies there is a lack of harmony with God. And that lack of peace is also the lack of peace with God. And so on that, I think we all would understand that peace with God comes from becoming harmonious with Him. And for that, we need the Redeemer, and we need our Lord for that. And so, as we each consider what it means to have peace with God, we cannot but be thankful for our Lord, who has made it possible for us to have peace with His Father through His redemption. And so we will read now the scripture from Romans 5, 1 through 5, and we've asked Sister Suzanne to read that scripture for us. No sound. Please keep trying, okay?
Okay, here we go.
Do we have sound? Okay.
Not again.
Okay. Another mic is coming to you. That's the one that
Hello.
Was whistling, I think.
Thank you. Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into the grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us.
Thank you, Sister Sue. And how precious this scripture is. It reminds us that because of this peace with God that we have through our Lord Jesus, we can rejoice. And even if we have difficulties, sufferings, they produce endurance. And that in turn produces character and gives us hope. And we can rest. We can have this wonderful peace that the Lord is working with us, and through that peace that we have with Him, we can count and depend on Him no matter what. We'd like to sing now the hymn, Trust in Christ, that does speak a little bit about the beautiful peace and joy that we have when we are in Christ and we are in His hands. So let's sing 125. The words will be on the screen. help to support us in our weaknesses with His might, and how we progress from faith to faith and from grace to grace with His help and having that assurance. When we look at this personal dimension of peace, we see that it takes a little work, that it perhaps does not happen completely automatically when we accept the Lord and when we accept the peace that we have received with God, but rather that we, through this realization of peace with God, we know that we can rely on Him. And this has to be a daily work for us, to know that perhaps today, as we get up in the morning, today we may face some challenges. It may not be that everything will be completely along the ways that we would like to have. Therefore, the acquiescence to the Lord's will and resolution that we will trust Him will help us keep this peace. And as we go through various experiences, we know that they will test and prove our ability to control our thoughts, maybe our ability to hold our anxiety in check, and also not to give up. Know that the Lord is still working on us and with us, and therefore we cannot give up on ourselves. And a beautiful scripture that talks about this peace of God that we have, we find in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, and we have asked Brother Seth to read it.
Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there be any excellence, if there be any worthy of praise, think about these things.
Thank you, Brother Seth. And we see how the connection here is built between not being anxious about anything, but rather putting everything in prayer and supplication to the Lord, and then He will grant us, and we will see the peace, which will surprise us. It says it will surpass our understanding, and our hearts, both our emotions and our minds, our keeping our heads straight on, will be kept and guarded. Let us now hear a beautiful hymn, Psalm 91, The Shelter of the Love of God, and brothers Tim and Sebastian will sing it for us, and we're looking forward to it.
Answers when I call.
beautiful hymn, and we appreciate the sentiments in it. We trust in Him in all things. May this be the source of our peace, this trust that we have in Him every day. And as we are challenged by many things, whether those that we see on the outside or those that happen in us, in our personal difficulties and challenges, let's remember to trust Him and in all things. Now we have hymn number 94, The Joys of Faith, which reminds us about the peace that we enjoy with Jesus and the various joys which makes sometimes seem the dreary months of winter look like it's the summer. Beautiful, cheerful hymn that we can sing in our minds and hearts, and maybe we're driving the car and remind ourselves about the joy and trust that we have in the Lord. And now we are shifting to this notion of the collective peace, which we might call peace on earth. And it is so easy to see that peace is in short supply, even though the slide suggests the dream that everyone on the world will say, yes, this would be my dream. I would like for the world to be peaceful, to remain in this cooperation, like we read the definition in Wikipedia. And we know that these world peace efforts have certainly taken a lot of sincere individuals, those who would like to bring everyone together, who would like to open both the collaboration in economy and collaboration in spirit sharing the knowledge, you know, across the globe. And some of these things are beautifully being able to be done. And yet, there is still so much of the evil in human hearts, and it will not take just the human effort to help and eradicate it. As we reflect on the wars, for example, of the 20th century, here is a graph that displays to you the human lives, the toll of wars in these recent centuries. So in the 20th century, we see these big bubbles here, and you see like World War II, 55,000, but note it's not just 55,000, if you can see it, it's 55,000 of thousands. That's 55 million, millions of lives that were taken away. And here we have other big situations and difficulties, such as Mao Zedong regime in China, 40 million. Stalin's regime in Russia, 20 million people. World War I, 15 million lives were lost. And so we reflect on this. And as we even studied earlier today about the increase of knowledge, here is a slide that shows that just in the 20th century, this very large number of conflict-related deaths, 109 million of lives, compared to the population of the whole world, constitutes about 4% of people who lost their lives due to wars and violence. And when we look going backwards in this 19th or back to the 16th century, because the knowledge wasn't as developed, you see a much lesser percentage of people who suffer and lose their lives as a result of these conflicts. And so, as we consider this, we see that the world does not yet have peace, and that we need to continue to pray and understand what is God's plan and when He is going to introduce the time of peace. We have no doubt that these times will come. The name of our Lord is Prince of Peace. And we know that when the prophecy named Him as Prince of Peace, that this peace will come. And that it has to come through some perhaps more difficult times. As we mentioned even in the study this afternoon, the Lord said, I came to throw fire, to provide some trying experiences, maybe for some attitudes to be crystallized and demonstrated, maybe for mankind to realize where the moral right and where the moral wrong is, and maybe to be in some way purified through these difficulties and thrown at the mercy, because God's opportunity will come when man is experiencing their extremity. And we know that this is Satan's influence. This is not God's doing. Satan is trying to hold on to his kingdom, and in some way, all these different wars and conflicts are as though his attempts to keep in check the various developments that might be, you know, coming up otherwise. But surely this and all the other troubles in the world do tend to create some stress in our minds. And it would be difficult and strange if it didn't, if we did not feel sympathetic for the suffering and the deaths of the many. But as we said, our daily relying on the Lord and remembering that He is in control helps us to cope with the anxieties, and it also helps us encourage others and remember the wonderful hope of the resurrection, that it's not, all these lives are not just a number. They are all in the Lord's memory, and they will be brought back, just like in some societies, like the Jewish community registers everyone who had died in the Holocaust, and they have a file, and they don't want any single one to be forgotten. The Lord has the same file, much more elaborate, with everything that is needed to restore these individuals. Well, as we, though, sometimes are a little susceptible to this stress, let's remember that the Lord is in control. And just like the scene from the Lord Jesus calming the sea of Galilee, when the disciples felt that they are perishing, let's remember that scene and the trust that the disciples had to have in him. And also we have the hymn that we will just play. This will be a video coming here from the audio source. And we should be able to play that as long as that's okay. We'll try to do that right now. Sometimes he calms the storm. It's a favorite hymn that we've heard on the radio some time ago, and we reflected how beautifully it represents the way that the Lord is dealing with us. Sometimes he calms the storm, and sometimes he calms his child. Sometimes he calms the storm, and other times he calms his child. And we need to remember this and be submitted to him in his will, in what way, whatever way he might try to test our faith and continue the learning experiences of mankind. And now we'd like to read Psalm 46. The one that talks about God being our refuge and our strength in the midst of world trouble and world turmoil. We'll ask Sister Cheryl and Sister Leah to read it for us.
A song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah.
Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah.
Thank you. And some of these highlighted words here, as we read them, do evoke in me some symbolic references of those mountains that tremble and the waters that roar, the troubled masses of mankind and the kingdoms, the established mountains that tremble, knowing that their time is really short. And this beautiful reference to the river, which prophetically might indicate perhaps the church, perhaps the saints, God is in the midst of this wonderful river. She shall not be moved and will be helped in the morning. As we understand that the world expects peace and the desire for peace is so wonderful, we cannot forget that the true peace has to be defined on the right foundations. And everything that we do in life reminds us about that. Whether in construction, if you are trying to build a stable foundation, a stable building, you need to build up a strong foundation. If you want to make something even, you want to really work on the underlying structures. If you're working through a problem with technology, you can't just say, restart your computer every time, because if there is an underlying cause, you have to get to that. And so we feel that the same thing is what's happening in the world, where you cannot just pacify and calm down the superficial type of as a superficial response, but sometimes you have to get to the core of it. And yes, everyone feels that way. And perhaps this is why the difficulties in the world in not achieving peace are that, everyone wants to go and resolve the root causes. And yet, we know that the Lord will do this justly. And we have this wonderful assurance that in His wisdom is first pure, and then it is peaceful. In some way, in all of our conflicts, whether it's personal unrest and lack of peace, or these international, there has to be a certain purity reached, whether it be by human efforts or more likely by God's efforts. So we'll read now this wonderful scripture from James 3:13 through 18, and we have asked Sister Josie to read that for us.
Wisdom from above, first pure, then peaceable, peaceful. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace.
Thank you, Sister Josie. And we see the order of things, the need to remove the selfishness and bitterness and jealousy, and only then seek peace, to first establish a righteous foundation and then expect that this result will be peaceful. I wanted to, in the light of the various things that are happening in Israel, I wanted to play a little clip from a recent speech by the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations, Ron Prosar, and he uses actually a quotation from Psalm 120. I am not sure that I will be able to do this. We tried this before the program, and the link wasn't working right, so it may or may not work for us. However, let's see if this will open up here. No, looks like there's a root cause to this problem. And I think we will just close it. And while this is going on, I will just drag over the little application that I keep checking these days. Israel has been rocket-free for, and then it gives you a timer. You know how now it's all developed, where the rockets that are being shot from Hamas are, you know, there's the warnings, and people have their apps, and they run to the shelter in Israel. But it seems that it's been 3 hours and 24 minutes. But here this statement says, since 2001, there has been 6,400 rockets fired into Israel. And our hope is that Israel will be rocket-free for good, and that this clock never has to reset. Well, we don't know how long and how far we will have to wait to have this clock going on without any reset. But we sympathize with everything that's going on there, and with the sentiments of what this ambassador said. I do have his words, and I'll just read them. He had a very nice quotation in Hebrew, but I won't try to reproduce it. However, what he said was this. Mr. President, he says to the United Nations president, the citizens of Israel want to live in peace. We want to see our children grow up and grow old without ever running for a bomb shelter or putting on an army uniform. I hope that someday we read about the attacks on the Jewish people in history books rather than in newspapers. And that day has not yet come. For now, we are forced to wage a war against a terrorist group committed to our destruction. Night has fallen in Israel. Rather than sleeping soundly in their beds, our sons and daughters are out there in the darkness, standing guard over the people of Israel. In the book of Psalms, King David says, too long have I lived among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Mr. President, says Ron Prosser, Israel was left with no choice, but each of you has a choice. Stand against terrorism and stand for the right of people to live in peace. Stand against the use of human shields and stand for human rights. Stand against oppression, and stand for the freedoms that we hold dear. I just thought it would be good to present this perspective and the scriptural position here that is drawn directly from Psalms. We realize that peace is the hope of every nation, and peace is definitely the hope of Israel as a nation. They have a high moral standard. Somewhere I heard that the world would expect of Israel to behave like the ideal Christian nation should. And this was a little bit play on words, because all the Christian nations possibly have failed in showing that very Christian-like attitude, and yet they subconsciously expect this higher moral standard, which Israel does try to fulfill. Well, as we continue our thoughts, we know that the hope of the earth is Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the hope of the earth. We'll ask Sister Florence to read this hymn to us, which we also could sing But for brevity of time, we'll ask Sister Florence and remember this beautiful refrain, Jesus' precious name, oh, how sweet hope of earth and joy of heaven. Sister Florence Trisina. She will need a little help amplifying, getting her voice.
We're both Florence T. Precious name, oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go. Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. When temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Oh, the precious name of Jesus, how it thrills our souls with joy when his loving arms receive us and his songs our tongues employ. At the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at his feet, King of kings, soon all shall hail him when his victory is complete. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven.
Thank you, Sister Florence. And we see that this hope is to be soon realized, that right now it may be a process of cleaning, of destroying the old things, that this stone that hit the mountain will grow, but first it may have to remove that old mountain. As we go back to our scripture, I just wanted to point out something very interesting. I don't know how this came about, but Sister Marta and I were looking at the scripture, and this perfect peace turns out to be in Hebrew. And, you know, the word shalom is a Hebrew word. Right here, we see it right here. And the way to say, apparently, perfect peace in Hebrew is shalom, shalom. So the scripture actually repeats the word shalom, and that's how the translators get the idea. This is the real peace. This is the perfect peace. May this peace be a part of our daily life, our daily walk with the Lord, and may it be something we can share with others, and may we all, in the ways that we know from the Word of God, be able to encourage everyone in the world who wants to know about that hope of peace. Now, do we have Brother John Caravas in our midst today? Is he here? Okay, I see. Maybe somebody could get him, because we wanted to just say a few words on the occasion that he won't be with us much longer, and we wanted to just send him off with a blessing. But while we are doing this, we will sing the hymn in closing, 339, Gladness Will Come to Stay. And the words for this will be on the screen. Gladness will come to stay. dear brethren, we want to wish one another this gladness and hope for its very soon appearing. And now, is this Brother Jonathan? Okay, Brother Jonathan, we understand that you are moving out of town, and we just wanted to wish you many blessings. The whole Ecclesia appreciates your being here while you were, and we know you will be back. But right now, it looks like your paths are taking you to Connecticut, and we will be remembering you and remembering you in our prayers, and let us know how you do there, and may the Lord's blessing be on you. May peace of God be with you, just like we've been discussing here. And now, shall we sing a few verses of 64, God be with you till we meet again? And that goes both for Brother Jonathan and also for any of the guests who we have here. And then we would like to ask Brother Tom Riggiarello to close with a word of prayer. Let's sing first and last of God Be With You.
Father, we thank you so much that we have been able to meet together today and study and fellowship. We thank you for the lessons of the importance of peace in our lives, that there truly is nothing to fear in life. There is no place that can harm us, no thing that can hurt us if we remain in thy loving care and under your wing. We thank you for this hope that you've given to us. We thank you for the confidence that we can have in your overruling and your protection, and pray that we can always remember these things and always trust in you implicitly with every part of our lives. Help us to walk faithfully, to reflect the character of Jesus in everything that we do and say. We now pray for Brother Jonathan as he journeys to Connecticut. We pray that you will go with him and be with him, and let the lessons of life continue as he grows and matures. We thank you once again for our fellowship together, the bonds that hold us together in the love of Christ. We thank you so much for the hope of the kingdom, when all the conflicts and troubles of the world will be past and mankind will learn to praise thee, the true source of peace. We thank you for the blood of Christ that allows us to stand before thee, and we thank you for that gift and his example to us. We ask a blessing on all the brethren who are traveling now. Guide and direct their trips home, if it be thy will, that they may arrive safely, that we may continue to go on in life and worship you. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.